Amen. That's a great job. Thank you, young people. And that's a great song to sing. And thank you for singing that for us. It's a great message there. My God is over all. Amen. While the young people are making their way out, I do want to remind you about, of course, we have our revival coming up in just a couple of weeks. That is on March the 17th through the 20th. And we have invites in the back and the table there in the foyer. So if you'd like to take one of the invites, you can take those, invite someone to come. On the opposite side is also an invite for our Easter service. And so we'd love to have you invite folks to come for our Easter service as well. We do need Easter candy for the egg hunt for the kids after the service. So if you're able to bring some Easter candy for that, we'd sure appreciate it. We'll have the that Easter service. We also have a few things. If you would be willing to have one of these in your yard. How many of you know what a yard sign is? How many of you have not seen any yard signs in yards these past couple months? Yeah, there's like, they're everywhere, right? Because the election's coming up, right? They're all kind of, they're everywhere. So, but this is for Easter. And so what we did is we actually made some Easter yard signs that we're going to have. And we have some folks, obviously, we have folks that live on main roads, and so we'd like to put those in your yards as well. But we have about 30 of these, and so if you'd be willing to let us put one in your yard, or if you'd want one to put in your yard, please let us know, and that way we can get that put up. That's a great way, as people are driving by, they can just be kind of reminded about the Easter service, and that way folks can remember that as well. So if you're interested in that, let us know. We have about 30 of them. I think we have 20 that we're trying to strategically put throughout town where the high traffic is and things like that. So we should have about maybe 10 or so more that we can just put throughout town. So if that's something that you would be interested in letting us do, we would sure appreciate that. Also, you've probably noticed there's a guy with a camera around, right? Yeah, you probably didn't see that guy up here just a second ago, right? This is a young man that is representing the church management software that we use is called Breeze, but it's owned by a company called Tithely, and we use even many of their tech and stuff as well. And so they asked if we would be willing to let them come and do kind of an interview and kind of record a little bit about the church and how it's used in the church and things. And so that's why he's here. He's not from a news crew. He's not looking for most wanted here at First Baptist Church or anything like that, all right? And so they're just kind of doing that for that church management software that we use. And so, but we appreciate them being with us today. And yesterday, Brother Shane and I were on the hot seat. He had us back there. He had the lights blaring. I really thought I was on America's Most Wanted at that point. I mean, I thought I was being interrogated and all of that. But we appreciate him being there and doing that for the church. Let's take our Bibles this morning, and let's go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. We're actually just going to be reading two verses this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll begin verse number 1 and 2. He says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Father, I pray that you would work in our service this morning. Thank you for the good singing this morning, the special music. Lord, we do thank you that you are a God that is over all. And Lord, you know our needs and you know the things going on in our lives. And Father, I pray that you would work. Lord, I don't know what has happened in anyone's week this week, really, other than my own. But Lord, I know some here today may not have had great weeks. Lord, some may have had some issues on the job, or some may have had family issues, or some financial issues, or whatever it might be. But Lord, I pray that this morning you'd help us just to take those things and set them to the side and help us to focus on you this morning. May we look to you, and may we desire to have you, through your Holy Spirit, to speak to our hearts through your word this morning. And Father, I pray that we'd be obedient to what you'd have for us. Lord, that we would desire to follow you, and Lord, just draw closer to you in each of these things that you would have us to do. And so, Father, just bless this morning. Thank you for those joining us via live stream. Lord, we ask that they would receive encouragement and blessing through the message as well. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, as we've just kind of finished up chapter number 1, Paul is just mentioned to Timothy about those who have forsaken Paul. Remember, he talks about back up in chapter 1, he says that in verse number 15, that all they which were in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. So he talks about those who have forsaken him in Asia, speaking specifically of those two men that kind of led this this turning away from Paul. But he gives the example, he spoke of the example of Onesiphorus, who ended up standing with Paul. And so now Paul is saying, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And so Paul is reminding Timothy as a pastor of the responsibilities that he has. And I think Paul is kind of using this as an example. He's just talked about these two in Asia who we believe most likely were pastors or leaders of a church who turned the churches and the believers against Paul. And so Paul is saying, hey, Timothy, I want to encourage you and remind you of your responsibility as a pastor. Now you could think, well, if Paul is talking to Timothy as a pastor and he's reminding him of his responsibilities as a pastor, why do I need to listen to this? Why do I need this? Because obviously right now in this room, there's probably one pastor. That'd be me, right? And so why would I need to know what Paul is telling Timothy about a pastor? Well, as we look at these things, I think that we'll find that these are not just for pastors. Paul is dealing with Timothy as a pastor specifically, but as we look through these things, he's going to give examples throughout this chapter of things and kind of explaining Paul's responsibility and what he had. Now he's showing Timothy these are his responsibilities that he has. And as we'll look, I think we'll understand that these are the responsibilities that every one of us as Christians have. It's not just for the pastor. It's not just for the missionary or the deacon or whatever. It is for every one of us as Christians. So let me stop here and let me ask you a question. Let me kind of start with a question, because this question really sets up the rest of what Paul is going to speak about here, right? So let me ask you this question this morning. Do we believe that Jesus Christ is going to return and that one day we will stand before the Lord and give an account for what we have done? Do we believe that? Now, I hope in your heart that you would say yes. I hope that you believe what the Bible says. In fact, we'll see this a little bit later in the message as well, but I hope we all understand that God tells us as Christians that every one of us are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and every one of us are going to have to give an account of what we have done, what we have done for Him. Now, this standing before the Lord Jesus Christ is not dealing with our sin, because if we're saved, our sin has already been taken care of. Praise the Lord for that, right? That was taken care of at the cross, right? So we're not standing before the Lord Jesus Christ as a sinner. We're standing before Him as a believer, as a child of God, a follower of Jesus Christ. And what we're giving an account for is what we have done for Christ as a Christian. Have we lived for Christ or have we not lived for Christ? Obviously, if we're not living for Christ, then we're living for who? We're living for self, right? We're living for self. And so before we even look at this, we have to truly ask ourselves this question. Do I remember or do I believe that Jesus is coming back? Do I truly believe that what the Bible says is true and that one day I'm going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, not as a family, not as a church, not as a husband and wife, not as parents and children, but I'm going to stand individually by myself before the Lord Jesus Christ and have to give an account of what I have done? Do we really believe that? If we do, then we're really going to want to know what Paul says in these next few verses. If we don't believe it, then really the rest of this chapter really isn't going to make any sense. Because instead of living for God, we're simply living for self. And that's a problem right there, isn't it? If we're simply living for self and we're not following what God says in His Word, then That's the main issue we're going to have to address this morning. But Paul is writing to Timothy. Paul is writing to this man that does believe that Jesus Christ is going to return. He does believe that we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, we do not belong to ourselves. We don't belong to ourselves. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then we have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And therefore, all that we are and all that we have belongs to Him. Everything belongs to Him. Our body belongs to Him. Everything that we have belongs to Him. I mean, you name it, it belongs to Him. Sometimes we just think of the finance. We just think, well, it's all about the money. No, it's not about the money, right? Because can I tell you this? If God can have you individually, if God can have you, everything else takes care of itself. We try to focus on things, right? And again, if we were to make a list of what we have, then we would truly be able to say all of this belongs to God, right? Our finances, does it belong to God? Yes, it does, right? Our time, does it belong to God? Yes, it does. Because again, I don't belong to me if I'm saved. I belong to Him. He bought me, so everything I have is His. So my finances belong to Him. My time belongs to Him. My job belongs to Him. My family, my marriage belongs to Him. My children belong to Him. Everything I have, and you could go on and on and on. But see, here's the problem is we start focusing on individual things like finances and our job and our possessions and things like this, when really what God truly wants is just you. If God can have your heart, those things will come naturally. They come naturally. We fight the individual things. We fight the finances, we fight the time, we fight the job, we fight the family, we fight all of these things because God doesn't have our heart, right? Because He doesn't have our heart. He doesn't have us. Oh, we belong to Him, but we haven't yielded to Him. And so we have to understand here, again, this example that He is going to give here, this first example that Paul gives here is that of being a steward, right? Now, we're going to look at some other examples that Paul gives here in chapter number 2, but the first example that he gives is of being a steward, right? Now, think with me about this. What is a steward, right? This is not a word that many times we would use in our, maybe in our English today, but it's a word that we all understand once we understand what it means, right? A steward is basically, it is someone who is entrusted or takes care of the possessions of someone else, right? So a steward is basically what we would call like a manager, right? Someone who is a manager of something, right? They're entrusted with something that belongs to someone else, okay? Now, we just listed all of the things that we would say are ours, but in actuality, they belong to who? They belong to God. So what we have to understand is we are simply a steward of all of those things. We're a steward of time, His time, not my time. We're a steward of finances, His finances, not my finances. We're a steward of the family that He has given us. It's not my family, it's God's family, right? We're a steward of the job that He has given me. It's not my job, it's His job, right? So all of these things that we think of that we would say are ours, if I belong to Him, they are His, and I'm simply a steward. I'm a manager of them. I'm managing them. I'm a steward of these things. And so this is what he's giving us here. He says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." He says, I'm reminding you, this is the example in chapter 1 of these pastors that were not good stewards of what God had given them. They were not good stewards. In fact, they led people away from the gospel. They led people away from truth. But he says, Timothy, I want to instruct you, and I want to give you this example. You need to be a strong steward. a strong steward. Now, what does it take to be a strong steward? Well, that's what he's talking about here, right? The first thing that we find, if we're going to be a strong steward, that we must have a resolve. There must be a resolve in our life, whether you call it a determination or whether you call it being steadfast or whatever. There has to be a resolve. In fact, when he says here in verse number 1 to Timothy, "Thou therefore, my son." Now, you, Timothy, I've showed you what these other guys did, and I'm saying don't do that. Now I'm telling you what to do. You be a strong steward. He says, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." That phrase, "be strong," it is in the present tense. In other words, it means to keep on being strong. He's not saying, hey, be strong one time and that's all you're going to need. No, he's saying, Timothy, you're going to have to be strong continually. You're going to have to be strong day after day after day after day after day after day. You're going to have to be strong. You're going to have to be strong in these things. The term that Paul uses here in this idea of being strong is not referring to physical strength, right? He's not saying be strong physically. He's not saying go to the gym and work out every day and make sure you're strong physically, okay? He's referring to a spiritual strength. It is an inner strength. This idea, he says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It is a spiritual inner strength. It is a strength of soul. It is a strength of purpose. There is a determination that I know what I'm supposed to do. I know this is what God wants me to do, and so therefore I am going to do it. Are there going to be difficulties that come? Yes. But I'm going to be strong. I'm going to resolve. I have resolved to do and to be what God wants me to be. And here's where, as I was kind of going through the introduction a little bit a moment ago, the problem is with many Christians is we have never made a resolution, a resolve in our own life to do and be what God wants us to be. We have become wishy-washy as Christians. Right? Whatever way society is going, we kind of want to move alongside with that. We're afraid to make anybody upset. We're afraid to talk about Jesus because it might offend somebody. We're afraid to invite somebody to church because, you know, we're not supposed to talk about religion to people. We're afraid, and we're just kind of wishy-washy. And Paul is saying, hey, Timothy, if you're going to be a strong steward, you just can't go along with what everybody else is doing. There has to be a resolve in your heart that, hey, you know, this is my purpose. This is what God's desire for my life is, and therefore I'm going to do it even if nobody else is following. Even if no one else stands beside me and does this, there's going to be a resolve that this is what I'm going to do. Be strong, Paul says. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Can I say that Paul was not telling Timothy to do something that he did not know about? Paul knew what he was talking about. If you hold your place here in 2 Timothy and go back to the book of Acts chapter 9, this is, of course, after Paul gets saved on the road to Damascus. And in verse number 22, it says, "But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ." So think about when he says that Paul increased in strength. Again, was Paul going to the gym and working out? No. What is this strength that he's speaking of here? It's that inner strength. It's that spiritual strength that he's talking about here, right? And he says, as he's increasing in strength, right? His resolve was so strong that he confounded the Jews, the Bible says here. He says he increased the more in strength, confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. So as Paul gets saved and he begins growing in his faith and he begins to be strengthened in his purpose and is a resolve, hey, I need to be able to share Christ with others and I need to help them to know about Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he did this in such a way in Damascus that he was helping the Jews to see that Jesus truly was Christ. He wasn't just another man. He wasn't just a prophet, that he truly was the Messiah. And he did this in such a way, his resolve was so strong. Watch what happens. It says in verse 23, and after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Can I tell you something? You better have a strong resolve when you stand for God, because there's going to be people that don't like it. There's going to be people that don't appreciate it. And we are being taught, right? And I'm not getting into politics or anything this morning. I'm not getting into our education system. But we are being taught, don't rock the boat. You just go along with what everybody else is doing, right? Whatever the majority says, that's what everybody ought to do. No, friend, that's not what everybody ought to do. It doesn't matter if it's the majority. It doesn't matter if 99.999% are doing it. If it is against God, it's wrong. And as a Christian, Paul is telling Timothy, hey, Timothy, you better have a resolve if you're going to be a good steward of what God has blessed you with your life and your time and all of these things. Christian, if we're going to be a good steward of what God has blessed us with, because we will one day stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, there better be a resolve. There better be a resolve in our heart to say, hey, it doesn't matter if the world goes with it or not, we are going to stand for truth. Now, can I tell you something? It's easy to say that when you're surrounded by everybody in agreement. It's easy to say, oh yeah, preacher, that's right. Yes, that's what we're going to do. When you've got 150 other people that are standing with you. But what happens when there is nobody else standing with you? What happens when you're the only one? What happens when you're the only one and you're sitting in a prison cell? You still going to have that same resolve? What happens when you're the only one and maybe the mentor or the person that you thought was the one that was really going to help you, he's sitting in a prison cell and he's about to die for what he's believed in. And he's saying, hey, you got to continue. You got to keep going. You going to have that same resolve? Or are you going to step back and say, you know, I'm just not sure if this is really worth it now. You know, Paul's gone through some really difficult things, and I just don't know if this is really worth it now anymore. Oh, friend, wait a minute. His resolve was so strong that through persecution, imprisonment, he continued on. Look with me in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Sometimes I don't really think that we understand all that Paul went through. I mean, we talk about some of the times that he's in prison. It seemed like most of the cities he went to, he got put in prison. And again, for doing what? Preaching the gospel. But notice, Paul actually tells us a little bit of what happened in his life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, notice what he says in verse number 23. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. It means a lot. In prison, more frequent. In death, oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. You understand what he's saying there? Jesus was beaten with the cat of nine tails one time. Paul went through it five times. Paul was beaten with whips five times. He says, thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of water. In perils of robbers. In perils by mine own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. Did Paul have any friends? I mean, honestly, think about it. He said, my own countrymen are trying to kill me, and the heathen that I'm trying to reach are trying to kill me. If we were to stop and say and look at this and be like, you know, Paul, I'm not sure you're really in the right job. This doesn't seem like things are going well for you. Maybe you ought to consider a different job, right? In perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. He says, man, he said, you want to talk about going through some stuff. Paul's went through some stuff. You want to talk about not going with the flow. Paul didn't go with the flow. And yet Paul says, hey, Timothy, there better be a resolve in your heart. No matter what the difficulty comes, no matter what the problems are, you stay following Jesus Christ. You be a strong steward for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is that same resolve that he's reminding Timothy that he needs to have. There's no time for inner weakness. That's why James tells us in the book of James, chapter 1, and verse number 8, that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Friend, you better decide now, before the persecution comes, that you're going to resolve to follow Jesus. Don't wait for the persecution to come. Don't wait for the difficulties to come. You resolve. You have that inner strength. You be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ. Say, God, hey, if you'll help me no matter what comes, I'm going to continue to follow you no matter what happens. It's kind of interesting that I hear people say, well, you know, if persecution comes, then I'll be faithful. If persecution comes, I'll stand, but yet they're not willing to stand now. They're not willing to be faithful now. Wait a minute, if you're not going to do it now when there is no persecution, when there is no difficulties going on, you are definitely not going to do it when persecution and trials come. You know what that's called? Deceiving ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves. Paul says, Timothy, I don't want you to deceive yourself. You know there's going to be difficulties. You know there's going to be trials. You know there's going to be hardships. You better be resolved to be a strong steward. But notice, secondly, go back to the book of 2 Timothy with me. Notice the second thing Paul tells Timothy. Not only does he need to be resolved, but he also needs to remember. Again, if we're going to be a strong steward, we need to remember. He says in verse number 2, and that the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Paul says, Timothy, remember. Remember. Remember the things that you have heard. Remember the things that you have taught. What are the things that Paul is telling Timothy he must remember? It's not just his salvation. Paul's not just saying, Timothy, remember when you got saved. Although, friend, that is a very important thing to remember, right? You ought to remember when you got saved. You ought to remember the day that you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm not saying you got to know the date or you got to know the time. I don't know the date that I specifically accepted Christ, but I know where it was. I know where I was when I accepted Christ. I remember that day. Can I tell you something? That ought to be something we never forget. That ought to be something that we never get over. We should never get over that day when we understood that we were a sinner lost without hope, without Jesus Christ, and that we understood that Jesus was willing to save us from our sins and to give us eternal life. Not because of how good we are, not because of what we have done, but because of what he did for us. Man, can I tell you something? That should be something we never forget. But that's not all that Paul is telling Timothy he ought to remember. He says, Timothy, remember the things that thou hast heard of me. It's not just what Timothy knew about the Old Testament. There were things that he had been taught as a Jewish young man about the Old Testament, about the law and things like that. And he says, Timothy, those are important too, but that's not all there is to remember as well. He says, I want you to remember the things that I have taught you. I want you to remember the things that you have heard of me. Now you say, why is that so important? Because you have to remember, the New Testament is a little different from the Old Testament. The New Testament is now about explaining and showing that salvation, again, is not through the law, which it never was through the law, but in the Old Testament, they were looking forward to the coming Messiah. They were looking forward to the one who is going to come, believing and trusting what God said is true. But now, as Jesus Christ has come, he died on the cross for our sins, he was buried, he rose again. Now in the New Testament, we're still saved by grace, but now we know who that Messiah was. That's why Paul, there in Acts chapter 9, what was he doing? He was convincing the Jews that this is Christ. This Jesus is the Messiah. And so he's showing that, again, salvation is by grace through faith alone. He's saying, Timothy, remember these doctrines that I've taught you. Doctrines about salvation. Doctrine about eternal security. Look, and I know there are many that do not believe in eternal security. There are churches and religions that do not believe in eternal security. But you cannot go through Scripture. You can't go through the letters that Paul wrote and tell me that Paul did not believe in eternal security. All throughout there, even in Romans chapter 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's eternal. It's everlasting. Over and over and over, Paul is teaching about this eternal, the eternality of salvation. Thank God for that. And look, please don't go out of here saying, oh, pastor believes that, you know, that once you get saved, you can just live however you want. That's not what I said. I believe in the eternality of salvation, but once a person is saved, there ought to be a desire to follow God. There's going to be a desire to put away those old things, and now there is a new creature in Christ that we are to follow. We're to follow Christ in this. Sanctification from the world to Christ. Setting ourselves apart from the world and following Christ. Growing in our relationship with Jesus Christ, making sure every day there's a growing here. Every day we're learning more about Jesus Christ. We're learning more how to become conformed to his image. Paul is saying, Timothy, there's so many things. There's so many things that you need to remember. Sometimes we get this idea, well, you know, I'm saved and that's all I need to know. Look, that's the most important thing you need to know, but that's not all you need to know. We have this idea, well, I don't need to study the Bible. That's the pastor's job. He's supposed to study the Bible. Look, I study the Bible, but I study the Bible for me, not for you. It's for me. Now, you get the benefit that I get to talk about what I've studied, right? But I'm not studying it for you. I'm studying it for me. You see, every one of us are supposed to take time to study the Word of God. Every one of us are supposed to get in there and find out what is it that God has for us through his word. And here's the thing, we really haven't made that resolve in our heart, because if we don't really care that we're not growing, we're not spending time in the word of God, there's no resolve that we're going to really follow Jesus. There's no resolve that we're going to continue and be a strong steward of what God has given to us. I mean, we don't even care that he's given us his word. We don't care about it. I guarantee you. How many of you guys are married in here? Raise your hand. How many of you guys, right? Now, guys, let me ask you a question. I know some of you already get a little bit antsy, right? If your wife was to write you a letter, she takes the time to write a letter. She really thinks about the letter, and she talks about all the things that she wants you to know about her and about the family and about you and why she loves you and all these things. And she takes time to write this lengthy letter. And she lovingly takes that letter and folds it up and puts it in an envelope. And she puts that envelope maybe on the dresser or maybe by your pillow, and she writes your name on it. Maybe she spritzes it with a little bit of perfume to make it smell good or something, right? And you see that and you think, oh, she wrote me a letter. How kind. And you just take the letter and you set it on the dresser and you don't open it. And a day goes by. And 2 days goes by. The letter still sits on the dresser. And every day you're walking by it, and every day you see, oh, the letter's still there. It's still there. The letter's still there. I'm just going to venture a guess here. Things are not going to go well with you. She's going to wonder, why didn't you open the letter? Why didn't you open it up? Why didn't you read it? I poured my heart into this letter, and there are things in there that I want you to know about me and about our family and about my, how much I love you and all these things. Why didn't you take that? Well, you know, I mean, honey, we're married. I know you love me. Why do I need to read a letter? Is she going to accept that excuse? Why do we think God does? God, you know I love you. I just don't need to read your word. Oh, God, you know I love you. I just don't need to take time to see what you have for me. God, yeah, you know I love you, God. I mean, after all, I did get saved, didn't I? I mean, I do go to church. Look, God, I'm in church every Sunday. I'm in church every week. God, I mean, it's pretty obvious that I love you. I don't think it's going to go well. Why? Because this word is not just to be read in church. This is God's word for you and for me that he has written for each one of us so that we can be in it every single day. And we just blow it off like it's nothing. No, friend. This is what Paul is telling Timothy. Hey, Timothy, there's some things that you need to remember. There's some things that you need to remember about this accountability at the judgment seat of Christ. Think about what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. He says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Hey, do you really believe that you're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ? You really believe we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account of what we have done? And we say, yes, and yet we never open his word? Do we really believe it? We say, yes, and we never take time to commune with him in prayer and talk to him? Something's wrong, friend. And this is what Paul is saying. Timothy, I want you to be a strong steward. I want you to be a strong steward. And think about this. Not only is there a resolve, and not only are there things that I want you to remember. And again, this is why this grace that he has given to us is not something that we get for ourselves and then keep to ourselves. It's not just something that we are to keep for ourselves. We are stewards of it. And it is our responsibility to invest it into the lives of others. We're to invest it. And this is why we see the third thing of a steward here is that we are to reproduce what we've been entrusted with. We're to reproduce. He says, "The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Timothy, you have a resolve. You have that resolve to follow the Lord and you be strong, Timothy. You have that purpose and desire. And you know, I'm going to follow God in this. And remember the things that you've been taught. Remember the Word of God. You stay true to the Word of God. And then, Timothy, here's what you need to do. You need to pass it on. You need to reproduce, right? You need to help others to come to know Jesus as well. Remember the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25? Remember the parable? There's a man that he owns property, and he's going to take a journey into a far country, and he gathers his servants together, and there are three servants there, and to one he says, "Hey, I'm going to give you 5 talents, and to another he says, "I'm going to give you 2 talents, and to another he says, "I'm going to give you 1 talent, and I'm going to go," and he says, "I want you to tarry here, and when I come back, we'll see what's happened." And the Bible says he takes his journey. He goes away, and he's away for a while. And while he's away, these three guys are determining what to do with what their Lord has left them. Eventually, Jesus says the Lord comes back. The Lord comes back, and he calls those three servants to him. And he says, "Hey, I want to see what you guys have done." What are they having to do? They're having to give an account. I want to see what you've done. And the one that he gave 5, he said, "Lord, here is the 5 that you gave me." And I went and I was able to reproduce. And I got 5 more. Lord says, "That's great." He comes to the second one. He says, "What do you have?" He said, "Well, you gave me 2. And I was able to go out and I was able to reproduce it. And I've got 2 more. And he goes to the third one. He says, what did I give you?" And he said, "Well, you gave me 1. All right, what did you do with it?" He said, I hid it in the ground. Now, the interesting thing about this parable is that God is not demanding that we reproduce 1,000 or 500 or 200. He didn't leave saying, if you have five, you have to bring in five more. He didn't say that. He didn't say to the man who had two, you have two, you need to bring in two more. He didn't say to the man that had one, you have one, you need to bring in one more. He didn't say that at all. In fact, he just entrusted it to them, knowing that they would take care of what was his. It's not about how much they had gained. What he was asking them about was, what did you do with what I left you? What did you do with it? That's right, when we think of being a Christian, we think, oh, you know, I could never be like a missionary. And they go out and they see hundreds of people come to know Jesus. God's not asking you to win hundreds of people. God's simply asking you, what have you done with what I have entrusted to you? What have you done with it? In the parable here, there was only one steward who was rebuked as being an unfaithful steward. And by the way, it wasn't the one that had gotten two that only gained two. We would think, well, he should have gained at least three or four or five like the other guy did. No, he wasn't the one that was rebuked for being unfaithful. Why? Because he actually did something with what was entrusted to him. The one that was rebuked for being an unfaithful servant was the one who had been given one and kept it for himself and did nothing with it. You say, well, what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm afraid that we have a lot of one-talent Christians. Not that being given one talent is a wrong thing. No. The problem is, when I say one-talent Christians, is we've been given something and we're not doing anything with it. We're not reproducing. We're not telling others about Jesus Christ. We're not helping other people to come to know Christ. Do you understand that even if he would have just brought a little bit, the master would have been happy? The Lord would have been happy if he would have just done something with it. But he didn't do anything with it. He just hid it in the ground. He kept it for himself. Can I ask you a question this morning? Where would you be today if someone had not been faithful in sharing the gospel of salvation with you? Where would you be today if somebody had not shared Jesus Christ with you? If they had not taken what they had learned from somebody and then they had looked at you and said, hey, maybe you need this, and they shared it with you. Where would you be today if they would not have done that? Most of us, I dare say, would probably not be here this morning. Most of us would probably not even be saved. Where would you be today if someone had not taken time to invest in you and help you to grow in your spiritual life? Oh, sure, maybe you accepted Jesus as your Savior, but you didn't know how to grow. You didn't know what God wanted for you. And somebody came alongside, they said, hey, let me help you, let me show you what the Bible says, and let me teach you, and let me help you to grow. Where would you have been if nobody would have come alongside and helped you to grow in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? Where is that person going to be if we do not share the gospel with them? Where is that person going to be if we do not take the time to invest in them? Again, think about what he says. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You see, it takes a determination to be strong with what we have been given. Again, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, the most important thing is to know Jesus Christ. That's the greatest thing. That's the most important thing. But if you're here this morning and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then friend, can I ask you, are you being a strong steward of what God has given to you? Are you being a strong steward with your life personally? Are you being a strong steward with all that is involved in your life? Because everything that you have does not belong to you, it belongs to God. God has a purpose for what he's blessed you with. God has a purpose for what you have. It takes that resolve to be a strong steward. It takes remembering what we've been given, not allowing society to change what we've been taught through God's word. Staying true to God's word and staying steadfast to what God has told us and not saying, hey, you know, well, society's changing, maybe we should change our doctrine too. No, friend. No, doctrine doesn't change. God doesn't change. His word stays the same. And we need to as well. If we're going to be a strong steward, we must pass it on to others to learn so that they can teach it as well. You see, it's important that the truth of the gospel be passed on to those who are going to be faithful and reliable. Did you notice what Paul tells Timothy here? The same commit thou to faithful men. Why? Who shall be able to teach others also. You know what Paul understood? Paul understood there were many one-talent Christians. Paul understood there were many that were not going to do anything for Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, maybe they say they're saved, but they're not going to stand for Christ. How unfortunate that would be to one day have to stand before Jesus Christ. And the Lord says, what have you done? Show me what you've done. What have you done for me? I blessed you with time. I blessed you with finances. I blessed you with a family. I blessed you with a job. I blessed you with possessions. I blessed you with all these different things. Show me what you've done for me. And we stand there. Well, Lord, I thought I had more time. I thought it was mine. I wanted to enjoy it. I wanted to use it the way I wanted it to be done. The Lord says, wait a minute. Was it yours? Or was it mine? Do you belong to you? Or do you belong to me? The Lord says. Are you going to be a strong steward? Are you going to have that resolve to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, we sing the song, right? I have decided to follow Jesus. And one of the verses is there, though no one join me, what's the next words? Still I will follow. I wonder if that's really true. Or if we're just singing words, not really intending to actually do what we say. There must be a resolve. We must remember what is truly important and teach this to others. And be able to help others to come to know Jesus Christ so that they're going to be able to help the next generation. Look, we understand that the Lord is coming back soon. I don't know how long it's going to be before he comes. I don't. He could come back in this generation. There's no doubt about it. Right? But what if he doesn't? What about the next generation? Who's going to stand strong for the next generation? Who's going to take that resolve and say, hey, even if it's another two generations or another three generations, hey, we're going to take the word of God and we're going to hold fast to it and we're going to teach it to others so that they can be strong stewards of what God has given to them. Oh, yes, Paul is telling Timothy as a pastor, Timothy, you've got to be a strong steward. You've got to be a strong steward. A Christian is not just for the pastor. It's for every single one of us. And we have to make a choice. If we really believe that we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, will we be a strong steward? Because everything that I have doesn't belong to me. It belongs to him. My life doesn't belong to me. It belongs to him. And I know that one day I'm going to have to give an account for it. One day, if you know Jesus Christ, you're going to have to give an account for it. So here's the question that Paul is encouraging Timothy. Thou, therefore, my son, be strong. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Timothy, you be a strong steward with what Jesus Christ has blessed you with. With their heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, no one looking about, every head bowed, every eye closed. Friend, maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you've been in church. Maybe you've followed rituals that a church or a religion has said. But you're not sure in your heart this morning, if you were to die, where you would go. Friend, just because you're born in a Christian home, maybe your parents were Christians, doesn't make you a Christian. Just because your parents might be a member of a church doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you come to church doesn't make you a Christian. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died where I would go. But I'd sure like to know more about how I could be saved. I'd sure like to know more about how my sins could be forgiven. And I could know that I have that eternal life in Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, that's me. I think God is speaking to my heart this morning. That's me. And everybody else's head is bowed, everybody is closed. But you say, Pastor, that's me. Would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? Nobody else is looking about. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure. Yes, God bless you. Put it down. Someone else. Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I'm saved. Friend, in just a moment, we're going to have the invitation. We'd love to have you come. If you're a man, we'll have a man take the word of God and show you how you can be saved. If you're a lady, we'll have a lady talk with you. That is the most important decision you can ever make, is to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. But Christian, can I ask you this morning? You say, Pastor, I know I'm saved. There's no doubt in my mind. And praise God for that. But can I ask you a question this morning? Are you a strong steward? I'd ask if you were a steward. No, we're all stewards. We all belong to Him. If we're saved, we belong to Him. And everything we have belongs to Him. We're stewards. The question is, are we a strong steward? Have we made a resolve in our life that we're going to follow Jesus no matter what the cost? No turning back. Are we remembering the things that God has taught us in His Word, and we're standing firm upon the principles of God's Word? Are we taking those things and teaching them to others and helping them to grow in their walk with Jesus Christ? Or are we like that servant that was given one talent, we just take it and keep it for ourselves? We're not going to share it. We're not going to tell anybody else about it. We're just going to keep it for ourselves. Friend, that servant, God says, was an unprofitable servant. Will you be a strong steward with what God has blessed you with? With their heads bowed and our eyes closed, we're just going to stand quietly this morning. The piano's just going to begin playing softly.